You're listening to Serious Inquiries Only.
Hello and welcome to Serious Inquiries Only. This is episode 160. I'm your host, Thomas Smith. And I am coming at you a day late and a dollar short. Well, no, just a day late. Last week it was planned. This week it was not so planned. If you follow me on any social media, well, more like on Facebook, I guess, you might have seen. I don't know how interesting this is to you guys, but I honestly had a real rough day yesterday. This news cycle is really getting to me. It just seems impossible to me to both keep up with everything, or maybe not everything, but you know, keep up with as much stuff as I do, care about outcomes for people that I do, and then not be miserable all the time. It's something I'm not very good at doing. It sucks because this should be the happiest time of my life. I mean, on paper, it really is. And at times I'm able to enjoy it. But, you know, on the other hand, it really, really sucks. And note the explicit tag if hopefully it's displaying properly, because I'm guessing this is going to be another episode where I curse a lot, because I'm just so full of anger. So yesterday I was planning to do an episode, and you know, I wasn't sure. I have some interviews in the can, as I always do. I usually am one or two ahead, and I've got some good interviews, you know, and I've kind of put them off last week because of the Kavanaugh thing. And then this week I was thinking I'd get back to another interview. And then I'm listening to The Daily yesterday morning talking about the New York Times article that you know, because The Daily is a New York Times podcast, and this Wednesday episode, which I highly recommend, was about this New York Times investigation. It's huge, massive. Took them, I think, a year. It's one of the longest articles ever written for the New York Times. It was something like 10,000 words, involved all these documents, all this investigation, huge thing, into the fucking mafia crime family of the Trumps. You know, and that's something, believe it or not, that's hyperbole that I hadn't really used before. That I don't think so anyway. I a lot of people have referred to them as a Trump crime family. I don't think I've used that before. You know, I do make some effort, believe it or not, everybody, I make some effort to keep my hyperbole to be relatively in control. But after seeing this, no, it's, you know, it's a fucking crime family. They avoided hundreds of millions in taxes. Hundreds of millions, at least. So I was listening to that. I was driving home from something, and I was all set to get started on the show for the day. And I had once again done a poll in the Facebook group for supporters, asking them, okay, I'm really upset and agitated, and I would love to rant about a bunch of things. Do you want that, or do you want an interview? And people are enjoying the rants, I think, because overwhelmingly people voted for the scream into the void option. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to do that. And then I noticed that I had horrible tinnitus. I know that comes out of nowhere and it's kind of weird, but I just, all of a sudden, I couldn't even focus or listen to anything. I was trying to watch a few things and listen to a few things, you know, for more prep for the show. And I couldn't even do it because the noise was just so grating and was hurting. And it was kind of disturbing. And it turns out I posted about it. It seems like a lot of people on Facebook anyway were like, oh, yeah, I have that. It seems like tinnitus tinnitus, as some people call it, is a common thing. But I've had it forever, at least intermittently, but this is the worst I remember it. And I can't help but think, you know, I don't want to get all wooey on anybody, but like, it is a kind of a mental thing. I can't help but think I just was so angered and upset and depressed by all the news, I can't help but think that my brain was just like, nah, fuck it. Just, I can't take it anymore. I'm done. I don't know. I mean, I tried to like take a nap to see if it would, you know, usually it would like reset. And of course that lost me some time that I needed to prepare the episode. And I woke up from a nap and it was worse. So I didn't do the episode yesterday. All this is to say, I didn't do the episode. I'm sorry about that, because now that I have a baby, when Phoebe gets home, I can't, you know, I want to spend the few minutes before she goes to bed and then she's asleep, and I don't want to wake her up with a bunch of yelling and cursing, which is what this episode is going to be probably. So that's why I'm late. Sorry about that. I hope that the episode still finds you in time to give you some, I don't know, some relief from the news cycle. But I am just so fucking upset. I really am. And I, you know, it's not to make it about me, because it's not. I'm sitting atop a tower of privilege. None of this stuff really touches me. Well, I'll tell you what. It does in a way, because I get immensely upset about this stuff. I really do. And also, you know, my wife is just righteously and justifiably very upset by this whole Kavanaugh business and the stuff. And so it's not as though it's not in my life at all. But I guess technically speaking, none of this stuff affects me, but I can't help it. Like, I don't live a life of thinking, well, that doesn't directly affect me, so I'm fine. You know, the same reason that the tax cuts were bullshit, even though they directly benefited me. I wish that bill hadn't passed. I think that the politics of selfishness and callousness and not giving a shit about the harm other people are facing and the hurt other people are facing, I think that is the Republican Party platform, is I don't care about your feelings, that kind of thing. And that's just not me. So yeah, I'm really upset. But I don't, you know, I don't want to make it about me. I hope you're upset too. And I can't even imagine what it must be like to be a sexual assault survivor and have to go through all of the shit and to see just all the stuff this drags up, to see the president mocking Ford. That just sent me through the roof. And I'm so sorry for people who, you know, like someone I follow on Twitter, I retweeted her thread she had about what that drummed up for her as a victim of sexual assault, to see the president of the United States mocking Ford, you know, and the fact that it drags up all these feelings of self-blame and self-hatred. And it's horrible. And the issue that I keep facing now, I guess, for me as a white male, maybe I still had some tiny portion of me that liked America. That was like, okay, this, you know, yes, it's got its flaws, et cetera, but you know, land of the free, home of the brave, or the opposite, I can't remember. You know, it's still whatever. And now it's just, nah, fuck this place. I'm just, seriously, the place is fine, you know. Real estate wise, America pretty great. Culture wise, there's a lot of good culture. There's a lot of good art. Tell you what, our Netflix lineup in America, you know, American shows, awesome. We got some great art. We got some great shows. We got some great music. We got some great movies. That's all cool. Everything else, fucking shitty. And I know that might be an exaggeration. Okay, I don't mean everything else, but we are the state of the country right now is such that the president can do the following. Well, I'm going to play it, and I do want to warn you. This might be something you don't want to hear. I'm sure you've been forcefully exposed to it probably by now, but just in case you're avoiding it, by all means, skip or turn it off or mute or whatever you want to do if you don't want to hear the president of the United States mocking a sexual assault victim.
36 years ago, this happened. I had one beer, right? I had one beer. Well, do you think it was? Nope, it was one beer. Oh, good. How did you get home? I don't remember. How'd you get there? I don't remember. Where is the place? I don't remember. How many years ago was it? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. What neighborhood was it in? I don't know. Where's the house? I don't know. Upstairs, downstairs, where was it? I don't know. But I had one beer. That's the only thing I remember.
Fuck you. So fuck you before anything else. Fuck you. You fucking piece of shit. So that's thing one. That's item one, is fuck you. Item two, she does remember a lot of the stuff you said she didn't remember. You can't even fucking remember which things she said she could and couldn't remember. Or you don't care enough to write it down. You fucking asshole. God. How are we supposed to just sit here and fucking live in a country where this happens? Where the president says this and people cheer? What? I don't get it. I honestly don't understand what I'm supposed to tell Phoebe when she's growing up. Tell you what, she's not pledging the fucking Pledge of Allegiance. That's step one. Fuck that. I don't give a shit about pledging allegiance. Oh, let's start our kids at the age of 5 or 6 and make them recite a pledge of allegiance to this country that they were born into without they don't even fucking understand yet. They don't understand anything about it. They have no context. They have no perspective on whether or not this country is any good relative to other countries, whether or not they agree with all the words in the pledge, not to mention the under God part. That's the least of my concerns right now. So I'm not doing that. I don't want her to make a scene about it, but like, I also don't want her to do it. So that's a small thing. But how do I do? I mean, they're going to be learning all this shitty history that's not the right version of anything. You know, like this delightful stories of how we had dinner with Native Americans and it was all kumbaya. You know, they don't learn all the real realities of history. Lydia and I have been thinking about that a lot. I don't know. And that's all stuff that was true a month ago, regardless. But then how do you, I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of parents listening who have kids that are more of an age, you know, because she's only 13 months or 14 months or so. She doesn't understand anything, let alone this. But I'm sure there are parents listening who have kids who are at an age where they might understand. What do you do? How do you explain to your kids that the president just mocked a victim of sexual assault? How do you tell your daughters or your sons or anybody that if they are abused by somebody, that it's okay to come forward? How do you make that clear? That's the number one thought I've had in all this, and I don't know the answer. I genuinely intend to try to do some research into this and see what I can turn up. If anybody has any expertise, let me know. But one thing we constantly see in people who victimize other people is they have a way, especially with kids, you know, younger people, they have a way of making the victim blame themselves. I don't know how it happens. I wish I understood more about it. But how do I raise my daughter in a way that'll help her understand that it's someone else's fault if they do something to her? That's already a challenge without the fucking president telling you it's your fault and blaming you for having been done to you. It's already hard enough. It's already a difficult enough outcome as it is. And then this. So to answer your question, Mr. President, you piece of fucking human garbage, when did it happen? Summer of 82, I think, was the answer. Or, by the way, the other answer was, if the FBI wants to ask Mark Judge when he was working at the Safeway, that narrows down the time exactly. Virtually, to the year, anyway. Upstairs, downstairs? Fucking upstairs, you asshole! She said that in her testimony before the Senate. She said that. As if this weren't enough, make sure not to watch the video in which you'll see a bunch of grinning, old, fucking white, piece of shit men cheering. Oh, way to take down that accuser, that credible accuser of a powerful white man. Yes, that means we get free fucking reign forever. So as you might remember, that last episode was he's going to get confirmed. And I named the episode that because that's what I thought was going to happen. I kind of make predictions on this show, and sometimes I tend toward pessimism, and I would love to be proven wrong. I would love to be proven wrong. But after I saw Matt Damon get up there and yell at people in front of the Senate, I thought that I just think this will give them enough plausible deniability. And when they announced the FBI investigation, I will admit, there was a flicker of like, okay, maybe they are doing this seriously enough. And then when they said the 1 week thing and started setting the limits on it, I thought, okay, this is bullshit. This is a way of trying to maybe shave off a couple points of disapproval on a poll somewhere. Like maybe it's enough to say we did something, we looked into it, And maybe there's a few marginal voters who will think that. And they have the time, by the way, they've got the time to set a week to do a nothing nonsense investigation that doesn't look at any of the actual facts or interview anybody important or even, by the way, they're not even going to release the results of the investigation. Frankly, the more the week went on, the more I was positive that I unfortunately was right. I would love to be wrong. Right now, recording this now, it's Thursday at 3 Pacific. I would love, it looks like 99.8% to me. And 3 days ago, I was like, okay, 60-40, maybe we've got some hope. I don't give a shit about being right. I want to be wrong. Please, God, let me be wrong. Somebody, some Republican, have a spine. Please. Collins Murkowski is always, but it's just not going to happen. Collins already said I'm very satisfied with the results of the bullshit we did to evaluate this. We looked into it and we didn't even interview Ford. We didn't interview any of the other accusers, but I don't know what must they have done? Dusted for prints somewhere? Like, what did they do? Talk to some people who weren't any of the main people? Do you know anything about this? Nah. Okay. I'm trying to think what they even would have done if they didn't interview Ford. I don't think they interviewed Mark Judge, or maybe they did. It's kind of mixed here and there. It's also hard to know because it's confidential and we can't know. God, I wish it was still the movies. I don't know if it ever was the movies, but there was a time in life when I thought it was the movies. By that, I mean when there was the, in the third act, when someone, I'd uncovered a clue. Turns out this Supreme Court justice was lying about fucking everything. Then what would happen in the movies is everybody would be like, whoa, I've changed my mind. Holy shit. He was lying. Well, clearly we can't do that. Clearly we can't put on the highest court on the land for a lifetime appointment who's going to decide women's rights, gay rights, and the most important issues of our time. Clearly we wouldn't put a fucking liar to that position. Never mind if we want to give him like somehow a free pass for 17, you know, when he was 17 assaulting someone, not to even mention that a fucking angry, entitled liar who lied about virtually everything except his undying love for beer was the one thing he told the truth about, I think. And it fucking hurts. God, it hurts so much. Even if next week they put a just as conservative a justice on the court because they withdrew Kavanaugh or something. Yes, that would still suck. Yes, abortion, gay rights, all that stuff would still be in jeopardy. But there's nothing we can do about that. There's nothing we can do. But at the very least, even though there's nothing we can do about that, and mark my words, there's fucking nothing we can do because we did not vote enough in 2014 and in 2016. We fucked it up. We blew it. So we cannot fix that. Democrats do not have the power to fix that. I'm sure you all listen to opening arguments like I do enough to know that there is just nothing we can do. It's not, Democrats need to fight harder. Or maybe if we hadn't focused on a 36-year-old allegation, we could have made the case that, no, we couldn't have done any of that. He was going to pass before the allegation he was going to get through. He's going to get through after the allegation. It doesn't matter. The allegation, what I was going to say is that at least, even if next week or next month or whatever, we would have a justice instead of Kavanaugh, who is just as conservative. At the very least, he wouldn't be a fucking attempted rapist, a misogynist. He wouldn't have been the result of a coordinated effort by Republicans rallying behind Trump, insulting Dr. Ford, a woman of tremendous courage, a woman who got up there and bared her soul and answered every fucking question and told her the truth, appeared by any objective measure to be making an effort to get at the truth, to admit her limitations, to not make anything up, to not make a far too ambitious story. She didn't go overboard in anything. She had a clinical explanation for her memory that makes perfect sense. She's a professional person. She did everything right. At the very least, we wouldn't have the insult of this person on the Supreme Court. So don't give me your, well, they just nominate another person that's just as conservative, maybe even more conservative. First off, you don't really get more conservative than Kavanaugh. There's almost no room for movement there. So I'm not tremendously worried about like a worse Kavanaugh. It's already the worst. That's how conservatives have it set up. They're all a 10 out of fucking 10 on the conservative o-meter now. That's all of them. They all are. So yes, if we got rid of Trump, there would be Pence. Yes, if we got rid of Kavanaugh, there would be another conservative, but maybe they wouldn't be a fucking rapist and we wouldn't have to live with that stain on our country and on our institutions forever for the next 40 fucking years. That would be awesome. That would feel really good right about now. You know, like I know, again, it would be nowhere near perfect. We'd still have a lot to do, but at least it wouldn't be that. You know, it just occurred to me, this might be worse than Anita Hill. We might have gone backwards. Holy shit. I didn't even think of that. Let me know what you think. But I mean, a lot of that rests on Trump. But in 1991 or two, at least Bush Sr. wasn't getting up there mocking Anita Hill that I know of, unless I could be wrong. But I think we used to elect, even though there were shitty people and still Republicans, we used to elect people who had a shred of human decency, just a minuscule amount of human decency to the presidency. I don't think. So have we gone backwards? I mean, in one sense, I guess no, because his poll numbers, Kavanaugh's poll numbers are worse than Clarence Thomas. So I guess it's maybe we've made a little bit of progress. However, we're held hostage by a minority government of assholes and rapists and rape apologists. Is that where we are? I guess that's where we are. Here's what I can't stop thinking. And I know I've said this. I've said, you know, impeachment for whatever. That it's an enormous hurdle. It's an enormous hurdle to impeach Kavanaugh or any Supreme Court justice. It's an enormous hurdle. We're nowhere near. We don't even have power. But I think it's an ideal we can always strive for. Like I for one, as a voter, and here's what I fear most in all this. You know what I fear most? You would have thought it couldn't get worse, and it's probably true. But you know what's slightly even worse for me is 4 months from now when no one gives a shit about this somehow. You know, and partially it's not really anybody's fault. There's too much evil in the world. But Clarence Thomas just got to quietly, as I said, I guess I probably said this last week, which feels like a year ago. You know, Clarence Thomas got to just quietly be Clarence Thomas, be a justice for going on 26 years. Whatever, just up there having gotten away with it. You know, will it be after the midterms? Maybe Democrats take back some amount of power, but obviously nowhere near enough to single-handedly unilaterally impeach somebody. They would need Republican help, which they won't get. Will it be, let's say, 6 months from now? Someone asks the question, what do you think about someday impeaching Kavanaugh? I'll be like, oh, well, no, you know, that's run its course. He's a member of the Supreme Court now. He's a Supreme Court justice. We got to respect it. That's what I think will hurt worse than anything, is the power of once something becomes normal. Sort of like, it's like Bush v. Gore in 2000. Once that was the thing, somehow the Supreme Court handed Bush the election, you know, and Gore just kind of was like, all right. And then it was that. Okay. He's president for 8 years. that's that. It doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter how close it was. It doesn't matter how illegitimate Kavanaugh is, how much he was lying. Once you put on that fucking robe and you start doing that cosplay and you're part of the court, then we just, okay, he's a Supreme Court justice. That's just who he is. In our minds, he is that. And there's not, you know, it's not as though there's much we can do about it again, but can we just somehow never let this be okay? At least you and I, listener, can you and I never let this be okay? I don't know what. I don't know that I'm just going to never call him Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh. Maybe I'll just call him Supreme Court Rapist Kavanaugh. Maybe that'll be my little protest. Slash, Can we run on the, or at least in campaigns, can Democrats say, yeah, he's illegitimate. He shouldn't be on the court. He's a liar. He lied. Very likely assaulted a woman, probably more than one, based on how many accusations we have. Can we just never let it die? Can we keep it in the news? Because they're going to vote on, I think, Saturday or Friday or Saturday. And he'll be a justice. That'll be that. He'll put on the fucking robe. Oh, he's a justice now. Just gets to be that for 40 years. Can we keep it in the news? You know, because there's still a lot more. One component that might be interesting is there were a lot of witnesses who said they weren't going to talk to the media because they were going to talk to the FBI. They were going to be interviewed as a part of the FBI investigation. Well, that didn't happen for a lot of them. So it might be that once they realize, oh, this FBI investigation was a fucking joke, so I'll go to the media. Maybe that'll, you know, that'll be enough to keep. But again, he's in. You know, once he's in, he's in. He could be proven on every single newspaper to be the worst, and it doesn't matter, because we've gotten to the point that Republicans can just say the sky is purple and it doesn't, if enough shouting fucking asshole people cheer them, then it doesn't matter. Then okay, I guess the sky is purple. They win. They have the power. They've wrested the power. They've captured the power. We can't do anything. And by the way, even if we take back power in 2 years, it doesn't matter. It's institutions got to respect or something. Or then they'll start playing the victim and they'll sit there and it's never going to be fixed. This is why I'm so angry. There's such a feeling of helplessness. It really is. I didn't even get to what I was going to talk about. So to add to that helplessness, and I think what really just put it over the top, like I can handle a certain amount of just complete rage in a day. You know, I've got my allowance, you know, it's like one major thing. Like, you know, Trump did or said this, fucking asshole. And you know, I'm mad, but I can go about my day. I think it was this plus that New York Times investigation that did it. Because here, in case you didn't read, I read the whole damn thing. It was a long ass thing. It was like reading a book, but it was worth it. I want to tell you about it. So I'll be quick, because you should, you know, go to the source or listen to that podcast. But if you didn't do either of those things, our law and order candidate, yes, the law and order candidate, the crooked Hillary, the law corrupt candidate, is a fucking criminal. And he's a total fraud. I mean, we already knew this. Do you remember, were you listening, listener that I'm talking to, back when I debated Robert Price a little bit on this show? Because at one point I said, I believe, I haven't gone back, but I said something like, he's not a businessman. He's not a real businessman. Because Price was saying, yeah, well, we got to get, you know, you need a businessman in there to run the show. Someone with some good old fashioned business sense to run the economy. And I don't remember exactly what I said, but if I had it to do over again, I would say something like, he wasn't a businessman. He has no business knowledge. He wasn't even a CEO. It's one thing to get a CEO of a multinational gigantic corporation in there. I wouldn't support it, because the government is not a corporation. It should not be run like a corporation. But if I were to buy into that premise, if I were to say, all right, maybe we need someone with a little bit of business sense in there. Even if I granted that, Donald fucking Trump would be the last person I would put. And that was before that it was 100% confirmed that he's a fraud by this investigation. Because at best, he was a guy who inherited a bunch of money and then put that money in the safest bet that there could ever be, which is real estate in New York fucking city. And by the way, still did a shitty job at that. He couldn't even do that well. Bankruptcy after bankruptcy. Bought a fucking a shitty airline, ran it to the ground. Bought a bunch of dumbass casinos and somehow couldn't do business as a casino. Should be one of the easiest. He's an idiot. He has no business sense. But even if he had, you know, even if he was rich because he inherited money, bought a building and made a bunch of money on that, that's easy. That's easy to do. A 9-year-old, you could explain to them, okay, businessman, 9-year-old, here's what you do. If you get money, it's the game of Monopoly. If you land on a square, you know, and you have the resources, somehow by dint of good fortune to buy a hotel on that square, or, you know, one or two, four houses or a hotel. Then when people land on it, you get money. Holy shit, I think I can fathom that. This is not a serious thing. This is not major business acumen. This is not, you know, the kind of thing that you would want. And by the way, you wouldn't even want that, as I've said already. If you want to run the national economy, if you want to try to, help the world economy or help the country in general, you need to know macroeconomics and things like that. That frankly, I mean, I'm sure you want to have some knowledge of it as a CEO, but it's not that side of things. It's like being a really good athlete, say you're a basketball player, that doesn't make you a good referee necessarily. There's some overlap. You're going to know the rules for the most part. You might be able to be an okay referee, maybe, depending on how much you care about calling. But you're not training for the same thing. A company is training to thrive within the rules, within the game, you know, that they're at. And someone who's trying to fix an economy or make sure everybody's employed, that's a macro level thing that's way different. It's just way different. But back to the article. Here, we'll go through how much of a fucking fraud this human being is. He's not even self-made at all. Like, even, because he had a story that, even if you bought his story, it's still that his dad gave him a $1 million loan. Hey, guys, I'm just like you, you know? Hey, listeners, I'm just the common man like you. You know, my dad gave me $1 million, but I had to pay it back. Yeah, if you get $1 million without, you know, any credit history, you know, your dad just gives it to you. Even if you later have to pay it back, you got $1 million. You can use that to buy property, which easily allows you to repay it, and then you make a bunch of money. I found it really fascinating learning about how Fred Trump built his fortune, because Trump's dad, Fred Trump, while he, of course, also was the beneficiary of a bunch of government unsubsidized loans, which I think is key, he was a businessman. Fred Trump was a hardworking, I'm not trying to make him out to be a saint or anything by any stretch, but in the American go-getter corporatist sense of the word, he was exceptional. He utilized government money. He glad-handed, he kind of made connections so that he would get these government loans that were, you know, subsidized. Did I say unsubsidized? Whatever the word is, one or the other. They're basically very cheap loans. Like, you have to pay almost nothing in interest for them. And you get access to a lot of money. And what he would do is he would use that a lot of money to build a shitload of houses. And he had this sort of Henry Ford method of doing it faster than anybody else. You know, he had shifts working around the clock, floodlights, all that stuff. And he took part of it. He was in charge of everything. And tell you what, he was the opposite of his shitty son, Donald Trump. He was all cattle and no hat, I guess. Donald Trump is a caricature. He's all hat and no cattle. It's kind of interesting. If you read the article, Fred Trump barely had an office. You know, he had the office the size of a parking space. He had one secretary, and he did fucking everything. He would call everybody. He'd make all the deals. He was an actual hard negotiator. He drove a hard bargain, as they say. He would get people to give him stuff for a little less. You know, he did all the typical businessy stuff, which, again, is still exploitative. We set aside how much, you know, he was using government money to exploit people and make a bunch of money, whatever. Set that aside. In the old-fashioned American sense, he was very exceptional, though. Hard worker, probably brilliant businessman, at least. And he made a shitload of money doing that. He made a shitload of money. He has the story that Trump tried to say he had. And this is the weird thing about this article. It is so interesting in a lot of ways, as depressing as it is. So even if we bought his story of the dad only gave me $1 million, you know, that already is not self-made. You're not self-made if your dad gave you $1 million, even if you later had to pay it back. Turns out that is not even close to true. Fred Trump made Donald Trump a millionaire by age 8. Age 8, Donald Trump was a millionaire, because Fred Trump gave him all kinds of jobs. So, like, on paper, he put his kids as, like, landlords and consultants and business owners and all this stuff. Like, I think that covers it. Basically, they were landlords for certain buildings. They were the owners of, I think, laundry money. There's some just every way Fred Trump could find to enrich his children, he did. And hey, that was his right within the law. But it completely contradicts Donald Trump's story that he's any sort of self-made, even to the extent that we believe getting a $1 million loan is. He was a millionaire because of his dad by age 8. And here's the best thing. Despite all of this, and his dad gave him millions and millions of dollars, not just 1 million, millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars. Despite all this, which he lied about and claimed it was his self-made fortune, he still blew it. In 1990, he was in extreme financial distress. Despite having every advantage you could possibly have, despite having a dad who's just throwing money at, just fucking, he's got a leaf blower that's attached to a money machine, just shooting it in Donald Trump's face, and he still can't turn a fucking profit because he's a fucking idiot. That's why. He's a fucking idiot. So his dad goes to his casino. This is a story that was already known at the time of the election, but, you know, didn't really matter, I guess. His dad goes to his casino and buys $3.5 million in chips and then just doesn't use them. So that is an illegal loan, and it actually was prosecuted. It resulted in $65,000 in civil penalties, but it saved Donald Trump for the millionth time. So that it never ended. He just kept bailing him out and bailing him out. And this is where I had to take a second and be immensely jealous of his relationship with his father. I was like, man, that'd be nice to have that kind of relationship where you're just a dipshit who can't do anything. But his dad, Fred Trump, was there the whole time trying to contribute not only financially, but also to this false image of Donald Trump as a self-made billionaire. His dad actually, it's so hard to imagine, his dad actually played into it, played into the lie in the media. Another one of the bailouts, another one of the schemes that he had to do to give Donald Trump money was, Donald Trump was in dire straits. And so Fred Trump it was a scheme where he bought shares in Donald's condo tower and then later on sold them back to Donald Trump for like nothing. So he spends millions on this big deal for shares, sells them back, and it wasn't reported as a gift, but it was a gift. It was a way to get around that. And then also, Fred used that loss. He declared it as a loss and a tax write-off, which is also illegal when it's a transfer between family members. Here's one of the most disturbing things of the story. Despite all this, despite the fact that they're as close could be, and Fred does nothing but give Donald money all the time, when Fred Trump was, you know, getting on in years, he lived to be, gosh, I think 95 or something, but he was very old in 1990. Donald Trump, again, was in just terrible financial situation. He attempted to dupe his ailing father into giving him control of his estate. So he sent him these legal documents with a message of like, urgent, please sign these, you know, which were all legalese, which would have given Donald Trump like sole whatever, just control of his estate. And Donald Trump needed that because he is an idiot and was in complete financial ruin because he sucks at business. And so he did this to his own father. He just sent this, you know, by courier, signed these papers, you know, it's all legalese. But his father, Fred Trump, being a pretty savvy guy, even at 85 or whatever it was at the time, he was like, nah, this doesn't seem right. And he sussed it out and he used, you know, because his daughter, Trump's sister, is a federal judge. And he sent it to his sister, Donald Trump's sister, and was like, does this look right to you? And he's like, nope. She said, nope. And he investigated. And so this is so hard to believe. That's how amoral Donald Trump is. He tries to dupe his own dad, who's done nothing but give him money all his life, dupe him out of his own estate, essentially, out of control of his own estate. But, as it says in the article, this did set Fred Trump on a path toward, with all the kids, arranging for this outright fraud to avoid paying inheritance taxes. So this is what seems to me to be the most criminal aspect of all this. So Fred Trump is the one with all the money because, again, Donald Trump is a piece of shit and couldn't figure out how to make money even with tens of millions of dollars. But by the way, you give me $1 million right now, I guarantee you I could at least make a living on it. I could invest in something that would like be okay. I bet you anything. I'm not going to come back and be like, hey, I need 20 more million dollars because I just somehow used that $1 million to blow it even to leveraged blow it so that I owe tens of millions. Anyway, what they did was so Fred Trump's empire has all the money because he built an empire. And they realize, okay, he's on his way out. If he dies and passes this $1 billion-ish empire to his kids, that's going to be subject to, a 55% estate tax or inheritance tax. And so they embark, the family embarks on a scheme which involves setting up a fake company that it's just fucking mafia money laundering shit. They set up a fake company called All County, which becomes this middleman that takes stuff that's, you know, millions in expenses. You think of the expenses associated with being a landlord and all that. You know, you're buying furnaces, you're buying supplies, you're buying whatever, paint, all that crap. You know, there's a lot of very totally justified and normal expenses. So All County is this company formed that's Fred Trump's kids plus someone else that he wanted to give money to. That was like a childhood friend, something like that. And they're the owners. So they're the whole company. They are now the new middlemen, which if Fred Trump's company needs a furnace, All County buys the furnace. By the way, Fred Trump's still negotiating. So Fred Trump, because he's an actual businessman, negotiated down, like they have these stories of like fridges, like, okay, you're going to outfit my building with these fridges or these boilers or whatever it is. And he drove a hard bargain still. So he still drove a hard bargain and like got a good deal and did all this stuff. And then what he would do is that was between Fred Trump and the distributor, whoever person. And then All County, the fake company of his kids, would then be the one that sent the check. So they would send it. Let's say it's a fridge for $250 or something. All Company would send the check for $250 to the actual thing. Then Fred Trump's company would buy the fridge from All County for like $500. They were literally doubling the cost of something, just massive write-up, all so that they could hand the kids income in a way that wouldn't be seen as inheritance. So rather than paying 55% of inheritance taxes, they would only pay whatever a corporate income tax. I can't tell you what that would be in New York at that time, but it's going to be a lot less than 55%. It could be, you know, given all the ways they're able to mess around with stuff, it could be pretty low. Could have been 20, 25, who knows? Very low, much lower. So this is totally illegal and it's totally fucking fraud. Totally fucking fraud. And then the other major thing was when he did eventually die, or when they started working on transferring the estate, they systematically worked with this one appraiser to appraise all of Fred Trump's buildings at a fraction, like a 40th of the value in some cases. It's just absolutely astounding. So in 1995, they got it to $41 million. That's how far down they got it. So they only had to pay taxes on $41.4 million. In 2004, which I think was the next available paperwork they had, that same empire was worth $900 million. Now, it didn't go up, whatever, 25-fold or whatever in that time. What happened was they systematically undervalued it by submitting essentially falsified, or, you know, maybe they bribed him or whatever. They worked with this appraiser to give massively undervalued appraisals. And then, you know, when they needed it to be worth nothing, it was worth nothing. So they didn't have to pay taxes on it. Later on, when they needed it to be worth a lot to, you know, get loans or do something like that, then it was worth a lot more. So they did all this and avoided hundreds of millions in taxes. So now it becomes a little more clear, as if we didn't already know, why Trump told Mueller that he better not look into his finances. That would be too far, looking into the finances. It's almost like he knew he had something to hide. Or the fact that he never released his fucking tax returns like every president has done since whoever, Nixon or something. He deprived the public of the chance to know all this shit that we would want to know to make an informed decision about voting for him. So he's a fucking criminal. He hid it from us. He got elected. That's stealing an election. I don't care if Russians didn't tap into a voting machine. When you do that, and by the way, when you also hide the fact that you paid off a porn star days before the vote, that's also stealing an election. When you hide critical information, when you illegally hide critical information from the public before they vote for you, that's stealing an election. That's fraud. That's wrong. You can't do that. You shouldn't be able to do that. But it doesn't matter because you can do anything now because there are no fucking rules. We figured out we're not living in a movie. We're living in Mitch McConnell's hellscape where all that matters is if you have power. It's all that matters. If you have power, well, then rules exist for the people you want rules to exist for. If you don't have power, well, you're fucked. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You have no power. Nothing matters. Just a little thing to end on for this article that I found fascinating. I said before that Fred Trump bought into this and tried to help out with the Donald Trump myth. I find it so weird. So weird. Here's a quote from the New York Times article. Donald Trump built the foundation for the myth in the 1970s by appropriating his father's empire as his own. By the late 1980s, instead of appropriating the empire, he was diminishing it. It wasn't a great business. It was good business, he said, as if Fred Trump ran a chain of laundromats. Yes, he told interviewers, his father was a wonderful mentor, but given the limits of his business, the most he could manage was a $1 million loan, and even that had to be repaid with interest. Through it all, Fred Trump played along. Never once did he publicly question his son's claim about the $1 million loan. Everything he touches seems to turn to gold, he told the Times for that first profile in 1976. He's gone way beyond me, absolutely, he said when the Times profiled his son again in 1983. What a world we live in. This is Shakespearean, I gotta say. And you know what? Don't you wish, again, we lived in a movie where Trump is actually a tragic figure because he knows he's a fucking fraud. His whole life he's been a fraud. He was a fraud. He was never a good businessman, ever. He was never a deal maker. Never. He was never a deal maker. His dad was the image he was trying to be his whole life. His dad was the deal maker. Fred Trump was the deal maker. Fred Trump was the businessman. Fred Trump was the billionaire. Fred Trump was the genius. He was the hard worker. He was all those things. And you just envision a movie where deep inside Donald Trump knows that he's a fraud and he won an election. Sure. But no one respects him. He doesn't fucking know what he's talking about. He doesn't understand fucking anything. And so he knows he'll never fill that hole of knowledge that he really isn't the man he always wanted to be. But you know, that's not fucking true. You know that he just is like, yep, I'm the dude. I'm the guy. Yep. I'm the billionaire. Art of the deal, baby. I'm the president. I know fucking everything. You know, he has no awareness. I'm telling you, he's the happiest person in the world. I bet. Maybe not all the time because he's got to deal with a lot of, you know, negative coverage or something. But I think he buys into his bullshit. I really do. You have to. I don't think that kind of person. I don't think he deep inside knows he's a fraud because he is a total fucking fraud. Every aspect of his life is fraudulent. He's a complete fucking fraud. And to any normal person with a conscience or any sort of, like, I don't know, self-esteem issues or appropriate sense of self, anyone who was put into those circumstances would just be like, well, yeah, I have all this success and wealth and I'm the president, but it's all a lie. So that's, I feel bad is what I think would go through my mind. Oh, this is not real. I didn't accomplish any of this on my own. This is all bluster and fakeness. That would be me. But, you know, he's just like, yeah, this is great. This is awesome. I got Air Force One and stuff. I'm the best. I'm great. I can't believe there are people who say I'm not great. Can you believe those people? What the hell are they thinking? You know, there are people who don't think I'm the greatest thing in the world. What is wrong with those people? I think that's all that goes through his head. So after all this solid proof, this just, again, a year and a half of hard research report, just amazing reporting by the New York Times. This is all past the statute of limitations. Cool. So even if it's 100% proven, doesn't fucking matter. Now, apparently they can still try to collect penalties because there's no statute of limitations on penalties, like civil penalties or something. But even though this is a huge crime, a monumental crime, that in a just world would be punished, doesn't matter. And by the way, this is not, Congress could decide tomorrow if they all, the Republicans got brain transplants, that despite the fact that, sure, legally speaking, you're past the statute of limitations, impeachment means whatever they need it to mean. High crimes and misdemeanors mean whatever you want. And I would certainly think, even though it's been a whole 20 years since your crime family stole hundreds of millions of dollars from the U.S. government, I would think that despite the fact that you can't be arrested for it now, I think maybe you shouldn't be fucking president. You shouldn't be in charge of the fucking country that you stole hundreds of millions of dollars from. I would think that would be reasonable if I were in Congress, I think. The other disturbing thing is this. I already got a couple assholes on Twitter, and again, I just use them as a kind of a weather vane. I just see what they say, and they usually end up blocking or muting them because I just don't care anymore. It's not worth it. Trump. Anyone who supports Trump is beneath human dignity at this point. I mean, I know I have family members that support him. I know we all know those nice people who otherwise are great, but they voted for Trump, and you know maybe they're conservatives, and so they want Republican in power, but they don't agree with him, and I'm sure that's true. But the people who are online defending Trump are beneath human dignity. They're not worth, just don't try. I'm telling you, don't do it. And you always think, oh, but how will we ever make progress? And I think that too. What do we do if those numbers get too big? You know, and the answer is, right now anyway, containment. We can outvote them. There are so many non-voters that can outvote them. We can do it. That's all, the only option we have. You're never going to change a Trump supporter's mind. They're not real people. I've seen them. Even on this Dr. Ford stuff, they just post meme after meme of easily refuted garbage. Pictures that aren't actually Christine Ford and stuff that's not true and Soros and all this shit. And you just link them why that's not true. And then they're on to the next thing. There's no winning with that. All we can do. So what I'm saying is don't waste your time with that. Try to convince a non-voter to vote. Try to help a non-voter to vote. You know, sign up for, there's ways that you can help drive people to polling places. There's all kinds of ways that you can help people vote. That's what we should do, because there are enough non-voters to contain the fucking cancer that is Trump supporters. There are enough. But speaking of the cancer that is Trump supporters, a couple things I got on Twitter was, this is just all the Times showed was the standard ways that rich people avoid taxes. It's just, it's not illegal. It's just loopholes. One guy said, this is class warfare. You just hate the rich because they're able to do this. So it's so frustrating. A meticulous year-long investigation. They consulted dozens of tax attorneys who told them, this is illegal as fuck. Maybe not all of it. And they were careful. This might be a gray area. This you might get away with. That was fucking fraud. And this, you know. So they were careful. And all that goes out the window because you can just say, all they do is say one of two things. So that's one of them. The rich. Yeah, no, they all, those rich people, they can do those things. No, this is not. If you think every rich person is doing this, then you should call the FBI or the IRS. If you have any evidence of this, it's fraud, you know? And the other thing is, it might be that a lot of people get away with this stuff because, and by the way, did you know that the Republicans are massively defunding the IRS for this reason? So the IRS doesn't have the resources to go after rich people who steal from the government by avoiding taxes in illegal ways, you know? And some of this stuff is, you know, blurry lines kind of thing where it's like, all right, maybe you can get away with that. But a lot of it isn't. A lot of it is just fucking fraud. And the IRS doesn't have the resources to punish or pursue it or find out about it. And that doesn't make it right. Doesn't make it okay. We should start devoting. Imagine if we devoted as much resources and manpower to this kind of crap as we did to arresting black men for having an ounce of, or not even that, a joint or something, you know? Imagine if we cared about it the same way. Or the other response is, New York Times. That's what's so, again, this feel, what has broken my brain is this injustice of it all. Of, you know, on one hand, massive reporting, well-sourced, just coming through documents, talking to attorneys, and all that stuff that the New York Times did. And on the other hand, Donald fucking idiot Trump just gets up there and says, oh, the failing New York Times, fake news. And that's somehow better. Like that claim, in their minds, trumps everything else. Well, on one hand, we've got, you know, dozens of highly trained reporters sifting through all this and being very careful and talking to attorneys and, you know, coming through city, county, state documents and doing all this stuff. On the other hand, we have an old idiot saying fake news. And, well, I think I'll go with the old idiot. That sounds... I've weighed the evidence, and I'm going to go with the fake news option. It's just too much sometimes, you know? It's just too much to take. All right, I think I've yelled myself into either exhaustion or a resigned feeling that we're fucked. I don't know what. But I've got a couple of voicemails I wanted to play for you guys.
Hey, this is Lisa leaving a voicemail. This whole Kavanaugh stuff, especially the way that he treated the female senators, is so discouraging. The whole Trump winning was so discouraging for many of us who have been bullied. I was bullied a lot as a teenager for having a disability for a lot of reasons. The way that But our president acts, the way that Kavanaugh treated the female senators, the way that a lot of the alt-right act seems a lot like the way the bullies acted at school. It's something I really can't understand, how people could vote in people like this. I'm not saying I'm better than anybody else, because I'm not, but I've voted in some pretty desperate places, haven't missed an election since I've been 18 and was eligible to vote. And I have to say that I know some very nice people who love Trump, who voted for Trump. Some of my in-laws are Trump supporters. And all I can say is that I'll keep voting, and I hope that everybody who feels that they don't like this sort of behavior goes out and vote. No matter what you've got going on, you're going to be helping yourself and all the rest of us by going out and voting. Thank you for listening, and bye-bye.
Hey, Lisa, thanks for the call. I couldn't agree more. Message received. We need to vote. God, we need to vote. You get to do so in a month. In just about a month, you get to do the tiny thing that you can directly do to show what you care about, and to try to get the government to reflect your views and to represent you. So we get this chance once, well, I guess, whatever. It's sometimes you get special elections, all that crap, but effectively we get this once every 2 years, really, to make any significant choices. And vote in everything you can. I know it might be hard for some people. If you need any help, I'm sure there are resources. Let me know if you feel like you can't vote for some reason. Wherever you are, I will Google something. I don't even care. I'll find a way. I'll help you. I'll Google. I'll find a service. I'll do something. I don't know. I'm just so beat down at this point. Just please vote. We can do it. The polls are getting worse for Democrats. Did you know that? We're less ahead than we were a few months back. Now, hopefully that's not real or something. You never know with polls, but we got to do it, guys. We can do it. We can take control, and we can send a slight message. We can stem the bleeding. We can stop billions of dollars given to rich people. We can stop the sliding into oblivion. That's better than continuing to slide into oblivion.
Hey, Thomas, it's Amy with a Y from the Secular Soup podcast. I was just listening to your recent episode on the Kavanaugh hearings, and one thing that I think a lot of men maybe don't realize is that things like this happen just as a matter of course in women's lives. I just had an incident last night where my husband and I were talking about the hearings, and we've been married 17 years. And I just last night told him the story of a time that I was being driven home by someone from a bar. We were all drunk and I was just groped in the car. It was a really bad situation, and it took the friend of the guy to kind of pull him off of me. And when I was telling my husband, he was horrified by this. But for me, it was just something I never even thought was worth mentioning to him over the course of 17 years, because to me, it was just one of those things that happens to women all the time. And I know that most of my friends, my women friends, would tell you the same thing, that this is just something we've kind of come to expect. And I guess the Me Too movement did do a little bit in kind of showing men how pervasive this kind of thing is. But I think women have been just sort of conditioned that this is what happens, and you just deal with it and you try to move on. And yeah, I just thought it was interesting that I had never told him about that, and not because I was afraid to tell him or anything like that. It literally never even occurred to me until this came up and it was on the news and we were talking about it. So something for men to keep in mind, I guess. It's, you know, you'll never quite realize how many instances like this happen over the course of a woman's life. And I think that's why women are having a much easier time believing Dr. Ford's accusations, because they know that this is just something that happens. So anyway, whatever those thoughts are worth, just wanted to add my two cents. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Extremely good points. And yeah, that's totally true. It's horrifying. It's shocking. And I know it's shocking probably to men, because as you say, men just aren't aware of these things. Probably not that shocking to women. It's, as you say, it's probably more commonplace than I would even realize. But that was my experience. That was Lydia's experience. She just once Me Too started taking off, she said something similar, which was like, yeah, I'm just remembering things that I don't even remember, because it's so commonplace sometimes that you just kind of move past it. And yeah, if we're at all getting to a point where we don't move past those things anymore, where they do matter and we do talk about it, that's good. It's only happening with some proportion of the country and not the rest, which is horrifying. You know, the Republicans are, I think I saw a headline that was like, Republicans are now the party of anti-Me Too, which is, again, it is horrible, but that might be true. It just sucks that the polarization is going to apply to that too, you know? That's why I said, when people say Me Too has gone too far, it's kind of an incoherent thing. Some people have applied lessons of Me Too, and then other people have rejected all of it. You know, I've barely even changed any of their behavior. But anyway, I am glad, and I'm that's why I've, you know, anytime someone wants to come on here and tell a story, I would love to signal boost it, because trying to make men more aware of just how prevalent this is, it changes your background assumptions. And I think you are right, especially when you say that, you know, this could be and is the reason that women just tend to believe other women on this. It's because there's a difference in background knowledge. If men have never they've never dealt with this, they've never heard about it, then to their mind, it's like, whoa, this is out of the ordinary. Are you sure? Are you telling the truth? Meanwhile, it's completely ordinary. It's 100% within the ordinary. It's not an extraordinary claim at all. It's a very commonplace thing. And so a lot of men have an incorrect background assumption about the planet and what goes on the planet. And so that's why I think I've said that a lot too, that's a very good thing about Me Too. I hope it does make some meaningful impact on men's background assumptions about how much of this goes on day to day. So all that is to say, you're totally right. Thank you for the call. I really appreciate it. Anytime you or anyone wants to call in and tell your story, please, by all means. And that message in particular was sent by email. So if you want to record something, send it to me. Or if you want to talk on Skype, just let me know. Email, reach out. All right, that's enough. I'm genuinely, exhausted from that. I thank you for listening. I hope it helps. I'm really furious, and it's never going to be okay. This will never fucking be okay. I just don't know what else to do, guys. And I don't want to, you know, sorry, no, I shouldn't keep going. I don't want to hear the like, oh, you know, try not to think about it. I'm not good at that. You know, I'm not good at being like, well, I ought to just ignore what's happening and be happy for me. I'll try a little bit, but I'm not good at that. I just am not. It might be a reason that I'm kind of perpetually upset about stuff, but you know, maybe it would be cognitively healthy to be able to ignore it more, but it's a really shitty, tough time to be around. Oh, I know what I wanted to say. I'm sorry. I do have to say this. This rage that I'm feeling, I touched on it earlier, but as I said, this is reaching me and my pillar of privilege. This is a rage that a lot of people, specifically people of color and women, have felt for a very long time. And any sort of person who's ever been persecuted or marginalized in our society, this is a rage that has been present for hundreds of years in people. And I just wanted to say that I don't by any means mean to say that now is finally the time to be mad or anything like that, or now that I'm feeling it, then that's when it's appropriate. Not at all. I think it is. It's exactly the kind of rage that Black people, that women, that other marginalized groups have had to feel and have not been allowed to express for God knows how long, hundreds of years. And I just wanted to say that I, for one, think your rage is valid and you shouldn't have to stifle it. And I'm sorry if society has made you do that. I read Soraya Shamali's book, and I'm right now reading Rebecca Traister's book. And there's other, you know, of course, great books on Black rage and the fact that it's, you know, these groups of people that are not privileged like I am are forced to keep their rage themselves, because if they don't, they're subject to, you know, stereotyping, and they're judged more harshly. And there's so many examples. I mean, Trump can get up there, and even Bernie Sanders can get up there and bluster and yell, and you know, Bernie justifiably so about certain things, but Hillary had to be just the absolute pillar of rationality and composure. And the minute she did anything that treaded toward anger in any way, it's seen as shrill. It's shrill. It's harsh. Oh, she's emotional. Oh, she's out of control. Meanwhile, Trump is the biggest emotional baby on earth. Doesn't get penalized for it. So I just wanted to acknowledge that. I wanted to acknowledge the anger that I'm sure a lot of people have felt for a very, very long time. It's not new, and I don't mean to suggest that it is. But boy, lately I've been feeling it a lot. And let's do something about it. Let's do whatever we can. Let's vote. We got a month. Please, please do so. Please encourage others to vote. It's what makes more of a difference than anything else. Okay. Thank you for listening. If you like the show, please go to seriouspod.com/support or patreon.com/seriouspod. Either way, to make it happen, and you know, join that Facebook group and be a part of that little community. It's really fun. But thank you for supporting. It's why it happens. It's why the show continues. And I will see you next week.